Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Well, I want to follow up and tell you about my session that I had the other day with Deidre, and some stuff that's kind of happening since, because this is Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. But, you know, sometimes adventures are not exciting. They're not, well, that's not true. This is exciting in its own weird way, but sometimes they're not, you know, the best energy, I guess. And so that's, I'd like to tell you a continuation of what's happening. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:15. I woke up to let the dog out, and it just dawned on me, you know, I will not be, you know, walking this transparent path that I've set the intention to walk with you guys if I don't tell you what's going on. And it's interesting because I don't know who listens to the podcast, and I don't know if one of the people involved in what's happening right now might not be listening. And you know what? That's okay. That I'm gonna speak my truth about it all and see what happens. Because I feel like some of the stuff that's happening right now in my RV park is, like, hopefully a final big festering of this ancient pattern of not being safe and not being allowed to speak my truth and being surrounded by people that lie and are selfish and manipulative and do what they want for them, and they're really broken and they act out. That's the pattern of my childhood and my youth. I was surrounded by pathological liars in the form of my brother and my grandfather especially, but, you know, my parents have a slippery slope sometimes of telling the truth too. Because here's the thing, when you can't face your own truth, you twist things until you learn to start really digging into what's true for you and facing the dark stuff. You manipulate things and twist reality. That's, you know, that's why it's important to do this work. So I've been surrounded by people not willing to look at their truth and just create a new reality constantly because of that. So interestingly enough, that nifty pattern of not being safe and not being important and needing to diminish myself to be as small and as visible as I possibly can, that I learned in my family, I'm having to do that right now in my RV park. I'm having to get as small as humanly possible. It's interesting, here I'm not even allowed to be joyful because that apparently is being turned on me, but there are some serious lies and gaslighting and drama-filled stories going on about me. And it's fascinating to see the parallels, you know, and you have to tear it apart a little bit and go, okay, now, if people are telling stories about me, is that because, you know, I told stories to myself and I, you know, is this all kind of dangerous feeling because I self-sabotaged for so long and I was a danger to myself? Like, it feels like all these old patterns and old stories and old ways of living in the world are kind of festering, like the last vestiges of it, just bubbling up, going, okay, did you get these lessons? You know, we're gonna see, because there's some of us left in here, and, you know, what are you gonna do about it? That's what it feels like is happening, because this neighbor next to me is just completely twisting facts, lying about stuff that's happening. It's now happening with the neighbor behind me, lying and twisting facts, totally negating conversations that were had, and just stirring up drama. And so I have to go, it's not funny actually, but laughter apparently is still a way that I deflect. I had to go to the office and, you know, pay rent yesterday, and the manager attacked me, not physically, but emotionally, mentally, and energetically, in much the same way that I used to be, you know, under attack at home and within my family, just screaming and raging and making up stories about what was going on, not listening to me at all as I tried to explain, whoa, dude, this is not remotely what's happening. And it's a weird thing. I don't know if you realize this as an empath yourself, you know, as an intuitive. I got a radar detector for bullshit and lies. So I'm real careful. I try really hard to be intentional about telling the truth. It's really important to me. But it's fascinating, you know, when people around you are just concocting the most outlandish lies and stories and trying to pin them on you. But you know they're true. But you can also tell when people are lying to themselves and to each other. Like, I have always had a lie detector, you know, built into me. My stepson used to say, you know, how do you know that I'm lying? And I'm like, there's a slightest perceptive difference in your tone, the details that you tell in your story, and this little laugh that you've got is a tell. So, I mean, we just know. That was the thing. Back then, I couldn't just say, because I know. Because that's, you know, that's part of my knowing radar, you know, that's built into my empath and intuitive gifts. But, I mean, yesterday it was just insane. And here's why you do this trauma work. Because I'm standing there being screamed at by this man and just lies spewed everywhere and just craziness. And I did that thing that I'm doing a lot lately. I just emptied out. I let it blow through me. I tried consciously to just kind of bounce that energy back at him. And I didn't absorb very much of it, because I was able to get in the car, you know, and drive up to my parents after and, you know, shake it off and listen to some music and get up and talk to them about it and, you know, release some of it. And they were, you know, they really listened and heard me. But, you know, it's fascinating. Like, here's where I have to dissect it all and go, okay, is this pattern trying to tell me, you know, it's time to move on? Is it getting ugly because it's time to move on? Or is that a knee-jerk response, like an old trauma response in me, to be like, oh, I've got to hide, I've got to cave, or I've got to run away? Well, I don't want to run away. I haven't done a thing that I shouldn't have. So, it's interesting. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen with all this, you guys. I've lived here 6 years. I'm downtown Austin. I love my space. You've heard me, you know, talk about my plants and my porch and, you know, the way things are set up. It's just, I've got a lot of friends, you know, now with everybody getting vaccinated and I have such a good outdoor space. I have a lot of friends that are starting to come over and we're doing things together over here and we're having campfires and, you know, it's feeling really good. But, you know, I'm not ready to roll away from this yet. I also haven't harvested all of, you know, all of the gifts of this situation. Like, why is this happening for me? This whole crazy, crazy situation. You know, what am I supposed to learn? What tools do I use here? What can I harvest? All that stuff. But, you know, I am glad that I didn't yell back. I didn't, you know, resort to name calling. I didn't rage. I didn't do a lot of things that I would have done, you know, in a little more distant past. But I also didn't have, you know, the codependent need to try to fix it. And I didn't have that trauma response to it that I used to have. But I don't get the bigger picture right now as to why, you know, I'm touching it as to why it's happening, but I'm not getting it yet. But here's the interesting thing, that my session with Deidre Sanford was really cool, because, you know, your body and your soul know what you need to work on. And so she and I spent about an hour up front talking about things and feeling our way through, you know, some muscle testing and stuff to see what the stories are that I'm still running in me, you know, and I'm not safe in the world has been a you know, story of mine since I was little bitty. So after, you know, after dancing around trying to figure out if it was something else, we settled on that, because that's my biggest story that needs to shift, because it runs everything. That's the story through which I'm creating all of my reality, you know, and it's amping up on me, this reality story. So I don't know if I can do it justice explaining it to you, because it's so far-fetched, but it's also so deep and so important and so vulnerable. But you know, apparently I'm just gonna still keep throwing out the vulnerability, because I'm hoping, you know, you'll hear something in this that will trigger you to do some of this work, or you know, maybe it'll trigger something in you that will bubble up to be healed. That I guess this is my attempt, a different way at attempting my healing work, you know, is to just show you guys vulnerability, authenticity, and real-time stuff. So what happened with Deidre was, you know, after we settle on that story, she has you, you know, lay down and settle in, and she says, now, you know, I'm gonna basically, how did she word it? I'm gonna talk to your higher self, or you know, your subconscious or your unconscious self. And so you just, you know, relax, and she gives you just not really hypnotic suggestions, but just, you know, tap into where you go when you meditate, just settle into that, deep breathe into it. And then like everything, when there's subconscious suggestions for me, you know, I fought it. She's like, okay, we're going to go back in your timeline. It's really cool. She sort of walks you through how you get a perspective above your timeline of life. So you can look at it, and that's how you scan and figure out where these things started. And so she was explaining it to me, and then she said, let's go. And we start, and you know, my mind fights it. My mind went, I don't understand. I don't know what you're saying. I don't want to do this. You know, I'm not getting it. I'm not visualizing. I can't see what you're doing. So she's super patient and lovely and explained it to me again, gave me, you know, a couple of different suggestions on how to see it. And then I just settled into it, and we were off to the races. And you know, she said, you go back down this timeline of your life, and you get to a fork, kind of, maybe, I think she said a point of the arrow, which becomes a fork in the road. And you know, which way do we go as we travel backwards? You tell me. And she's like, one way is ancestral, and the other way is past lives. I was like, then it just came really clearly, just real intuitively to me. It was like, oh, we're going to the past lives section. She goes, great. You know, how far back? And I'm like, I just heard four immediately. I'm like, apparently it's four lifetimes. And see, I still fight this. I do it, and I trust her immensely, and she's incredibly gifted, you know, as a psychic and an intuitive and in this modality. So it wasn't me questioning her. It's me questioning, you know, me and all things intuitive, like I still do, which I guess at some point when I allow all that to just flow and stop questioning it, I'm betting it gets stronger and, you know, and has more flow to it. But that's a pretty good aha moment for 3:30 in the morning right there. But anyway, so I'm with her, and she's, you know, she says, where are you? I'm like, we're going into past life, and it's apparently four lifetimes ago. And she said, okay, what, you know, who are you and what do you see? And I felt like I was a really small, I just felt really small, first off. And then I felt feminine. And then I just felt fear, just overwhelming terror. And I could feel then that I was confined and kind of hiding under something. And it's interesting because I'm pretty claustrophobic this lifetime, which is interesting, you know, for somebody who lives in a 25-foot space. This doesn't feel claustrophobic to me because it's, you know, it's safe and happy here in the Airstream. But I felt really claustrophobic and closed in and just terrified. And I immediately knew that there was a man in the room that I was in that I should be terrified of. And she said, you know, okay, well, you know, can you feel how old you are? You know, what you're doing? And I said, I feel little. Like, I feel, I don't know, I'm 6 or 7. And she said, well, are you alone? And I said, no, there's a man in here, and this is not good. This is not good at all. And he doesn't know I'm here. And I've got to be really still and really quiet. I cannot make a sound. So you guys know how I haven't been able to use my voice in this lifetime. For 30 years, I shut my authentic voice down, my singing voice. I quit speaking my truth to my family and my clients. Yeah, I mean, in anger, I would speak my truth from time to time, but, you know, not speaking my soul's truth, my soft truth, my, you know, what I needed, not setting boundaries, not speaking up for me, that all shut down. This lifetime had a vice grip on my throat because of this. Because I could feel this little girl wanted to scream in terror, and she couldn't. So she had to clamp down on, you know, on her throat. And she said, well, you know, are you there? Are you alone? Have you been abandoned? Because that was one of the topics, you know, we touched on maybe covering. And she said, have you been abandoned? And I said, well, ugh. And I started crying, and I said, no, I'm not alone, but I'm the only one left alive. And she said, okay, where is everybody and what happened? And I said, well, my mom and my two sisters are in here with me. And she said, where's here? And I said, it's like an old settler's cabin. I don't know where we are exactly, but, you know, it's a cabin of some kind. Like, you know, Little House on the Prairie kind of cabin, which, hello, was one of my favorite shows in childhood. Because you are drawn in this lifetime to the things that you've known in past lives. So she said, you know, okay, so you're in this cabin. There's a man in there. You're hiding. Where is everybody else? And I said, well, my mom and my sisters are in here with me, but they're dead. He killed them. And she said, okay, is there anybody outside? And I said, yeah, my dad and my brother are outside. He killed them first. They were working outside, and he got to them first. And I was the youngest and the smallest, and I was able to get up under this big bed, back up against the wall, and get as tiny as I possibly could to stay safe. Well, y'all, how's that sound with the way that I've explained that I had to live, you know, my childhood and the way that, you know, my current reality is trying to force me to live as small and as tiny and as quiet and, you know, keep to yourself. Don't say a word. You better not say a word, because that's what the manager kept yelling at me yesterday. You better not say a thing about any of this. You know, that, and that's a childhood thing. So look how it came from this life where everybody in my family was slaughtered but me, and I'm hiding, and I'm still, and I'm, you know, clamped down on my throat, and I'm trying really hard not to breathe. And you don't know this about me, but I breathe really shallowly in this lifetime. I'm having one of my meditative things with Panache and with other teachers is I'm having to learn to really breathe deep into my belly, not a trauma breath, like a high up in your chest trauma breath. I'm trying to learn to really get that prana and, you know, the life force energy and the breath deep into my body and to oxygenate my body and to release this just primal autonomic nervous response that I have or had so much in this lifetime. So that was my past life. Isn't that fascinating? And some of you may not believe this at all. You may, you know, you just may not believe in past lives, but until you've done one of these regressions and really felt it and then seen the parallels that you bring with you of those fears and traumas, you know, bring them with you and understand how that story came with you into the all the subsequent lifetimes, right? Because if that was 4 lifetimes ago, I'm carrying that trauma into the next, you know, the next 3 and the current one. And so this is what was cool, you know, after we feel all that and see into it, she starts, and you know, I'm still in a somewhat subconscious, unconscious, hypnotic state at this point. So I don't remember exactly how we did everything, but she basically said, okay, you know, let's go in and feel the terror. Because this is something a lot of my teachers do, and so, you know, this is what works. You have to feel into the emotions that are happening then. Yet you know that you're safe, because, you know, now I'm in a different life. It's, you know, I don't have to relive it, what happened then. But the emotion of it, I've got to be comfortable with now to feel it and amp it up and know that I'm okay in the midst of it until it can shift and pass. Be felt, witnessed, honored, shift, and pass. That's how it works. So she had me, you know, go through the terror and, you know, crank it up to 15. The sadness, crank it up to 15. I don't know, what else do we, which other emotions do we work on? You know, abandonment, the feelings of abandonment, just the different feelings that came up, you know, crank them up. And I cried a whole lot. And, you know, I cried so much in this lifetime, you wouldn't believe it. So apparently I've had a bunch of traumatic lifetimes, and not everybody does. You know, some people have lifetimes where they're like, it's all golden, we're fine, you know, but apparently I've had a string of really heavy, sad ones. And I always felt that I just had this heavy sadness with me. I mean, just for decades, that is, it's part of why I got so sick. I just had this weight of the world on me, and, you know, and all these emotions that I couldn't let flow. So that's been a big part of my healing process, is just sitting still in the sadness, in the anger, in the fear, and just letting it all come up, letting it amplify, feeling it all. It's a big part of my work with Panache and his energy activations. You gotta let that stuff up and out. Because the only way, you know, through it is just to jump into it and harvest it and let it up. So Deidre had me work through, you know, a lot of that. And then I just shifted into just a place of peace. Just something shifted, and I just felt lighter. And she goes, oh, I don't know if she was going to walk me through a shifting process, but I got there on my own. I was ready to shift it. And so I settled into a real peaceful place, and I could feel my body settle back down and my energy shift and just this overwhelming peace come over me about it all. And then she brought me out of the semi-hypnotic state, you know, and we talked about a bunch of it. So it's interesting. There's still some residue there. There's still some stuff that I need to unpack with how it applies in this lifetime and to this, you know, this reality that's going on around me now in the Airstream with my neighbors and the park people. But you know, I made an appointment with my EMDR therapist, and I'm writing all this stuff down, and you know, I'm going to sit down with him now and just harvest the living hell out of, you know, what I found, the not speaking my truth, and, you know, the parallels to not being allowed to, that are happening now, and the being fearful in my home, you know, the residue of that, where it's, you know, where it's playing out this lifetime. Now I shift it in this lifetime, because I found where it all started. I found where the biggest fear and trauma came from in a past life. Great, we worked on that. Now I get to figure out how to release it as it's happening here. And as I release it and shift it, that's when the reality around me will start to change. So I've still got some harvesting to do. I've still got some work to do. But, you know, slowly but surely, like everything else, you know, like I've said it before, I love what Michelangelo said about sculpting the David. You know, he didn't have a vision for what he was doing. He just chipped away at what didn't belong. And that's how he got to that masterpiece. And that's what we're doing with ourselves, you guys, as we do this transformational work and, you know, in clear things so that we can be more intuitive, so that we can be the empowered healers, the, you know, empowered intuitives that we came here to be, instead of the wounded ones working from a, you know, working just from a place of trauma, but to be that fully empowered, enlightened, intuitive empath that's just flowing with life force energy and their gifts, we got to do this hard work. So I got my mallet and my chisel, and I am sculpting away and just releasing more and more and more that doesn't serve. And who knows, it might be that it, you know, what doesn't serve is being here in this crazy energy. It may be time to go. I just don't know where else to go. I've been looking and I haven't found the place yet. And usually what I do is I find my next chapter and I get a whole bunch of energy around it and just a quick, you know, one of my intuitive knowings, like, time to go. Gotta go. And I'll decide it, you know, and within 2 hours I'll be packing and moving. That's how it's always been for me. So I'm just sitting still, you know, for anybody's listening going, dude, your house is on wheels. Why don't you just roll away? I don't have the intuitive knowing yet where that is that I'm supposed to go, where the next chapter is, but I've been asking my guides and my team, you know, I've been meditating and I've been doing a lot of prayer. It's like, you know, please let this be easy for me. I claim an easy world, an easy road with all this. I'd like to assimilate these lessons and, you know, move on to my new chapter with ease and grace. So I'm just kind of in a holding pattern, waiting to harvest all this stuff, you know, sitting in the energy of all this and harvesting what's here and just waiting for the whisper to know what's next. Because I don't know yet, but this too shall pass, and we will figure it out, and it's part of the journey. So I thought I would share that with you guys. It's now 3:45, and I'm gonna end things and try to go back to sleep for a little bit. I've got a pretty busy day, but I love you guys. Thank you, as always, for listening, for witnessing my truth, for holding space for me as I hold for you, and just for giving me an outlet to talk through these things so that, you know, I can make sense for myself, too, as to what's going on. Because I live alone. You know, I don't really have anyone to tell these things to. I can tell my parents, but they sometimes look at me like I have three heads and don't understand. And I have friends that I can tell it to. But there's something really valuable here about putting it all out there, really speaking my truth, and having it witnessed by people who are invested, you know, in me and my story. It just means the world. So thank you for being part of that journey, for supporting me in it, and for coming on back. So love you guys. I will talk to you next time. And I guess I can say sweet dreams, because I'm going to go roll back over, see if I can't sleep a little more. Talk to you soon. Bye. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @airstream_oracle, or you can email me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on and read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Thank you.